now a man who, just like you, ought to be asleep. Peter Anthony Holder, with Holder Tonight on Astral Media Radio. CJAD 800 in Montreal and CFRB 1010 in Toronto.
And joining us right now on the program is Bernie Toholke, who is a former cult member and the author of Torn Asunder in the Jaws of a Cult here on CJAD and CFRB. Hi, Bernie. How are you?
Good morning. Doing very fine.
Thanks for being on the program with us.
Thank you very much.
A lot of people think that some cults are things of the past because you don't hear about them too much, especially after the situation that took place in Waco, for instance. But cults are out there, probably just as many as there were before, if not more. We just don't hear about them as much, sadly to say. What was the one that you were involved with, and how did it all begin for you?
Okay, I was involved with the Church of God Restoration. First of all, there is a difference. What is actually a cult is the way I see it, actually, is a difference between a church and a cult. A church might be flaky. It might have some strangeness to them. There's many, many good ones out there. But when they hit criterias of eight criterias that differentiate them, there's a lot of control, mind control. They have to fit all eight criteria to become a cult. When I first started getting involved with it, it was very friendly, very outgoing. They allowed us to, you know, they provided a lot of things. It was a very attractive thing. And it actually transmuted into a cult as time went along. One thing that happens is that the people, the newcomers, the visitors, do not get the whole information, the whole package of what they're about, all the rules and so forth. They come slowly revealed to themselves as a time goes along.
Now, the Church of God Restoration, first of all, where was this?
Okay, Church of God Restoration, they have several throughout the United States. They have a couple right there in Canada. The one that I remember the most is the one that's just out of Elmer, Ontario, just a few miles from Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was a situation of family. First of all, this cult does not believe in medicine and doctors. They just believe totally in divine healing. If the child dies, it dies. That's it. You do not take them to the doctors. And there was one family. And another thing is they have a teaching of a discipline. Their form of discipline, if a child misbehaves, the child has to willfully lay across the bed, the couch, the chair, whatever it is convenient right there, lay across. If the child cannot, any wrestling that you do with a child to make them submit to the discipline is not part of the discipline. So I have seen throughout the time where you take a child and you strap them across your knee and you beat them and beat them and beat them and release them, okay, lay across a chair. They can't do it. You do it again, over and over and over again until they finally submit. Then they get their five spankings or six or seven or ten, whatever probably their age bracket is. If they're 8 years old, they're going to get eight swats. But all the preliminary wrestling, that has no part of it. So I saw a lot of children that were beat black and blue. Okay, back to Elmer now. Elmer, St. Thomas area,
mm-hmm.
London area there. There was a family that was questioned by the social workers, by the health department, you know, the children protection agencies, and they came and investigated a family, and there were black and blue spots. Well, duh, you know, I was in the system. I know what it is like. There's, I believe, many, many, many children in that system that have those kind of marks. I was probably at the same time guilty of it myself because I was very involved in it. And so the children got taken from the home. They hit national public television a little while back in maybe 2002, I believe it was, 2003. Family was taken from. I was still involved in the cult, and might have been 2001. Anyway, in the United States, everybody, you got to go there, you got to go there. All the congregations, and we call ourselves the saints, all the saints should go to that place. And so I remember leaving Wisconsin and driving all the way out to St. Thomas, to Elmer. And so I have some connections, and we had picketed at the courthouse and stuff while the judge was trying to make a decision, and there were probably 200-300 people of us saints around there singing and demonstrating and so forth, songs.
Well, what was it that led you to the cult in the first place, and what do you think it is about yourself that made you susceptible?
Okay, the thing is, each person, each human being strives, craves for a belonging. You are nice to me, I will be attracted to you. You do certain things for me if I have a need. That's the way gangs are. Gangs and clubs and different things like that. If there's a sense of belonging, people crave that. And the cult was providing those things. When I first met them, you need this, you need that, and buy. They donated their students, their children, their teenagers and stuff. Hey, they can help you and stay here a week. And they were so kind and helpful. And they provided, I can't come to the camp meeting, to check it out for the first time. Oh, we'll give you the money. First time around, they provided everything. Wow, these people are nice. And you slowly get sucked into it. And as you get sucked into it, pretty soon, little by little, rules come out. If you can see the full package of everything that they're about, no, I don't want no part of that. And that is the reason I wrote the book, to protect others, to be able to get the full impact of it right away, that you understand what the cult is all about. On the surface, they seem so nice and so kind. But if you can understand the full package, it's a shying away from.
How old were you when you first got involved?
I was about 35, something like that.
Mm. Isn't that a little old when it comes to people getting involved with cults?
Yeah, because at the time I did not consider it being a cult. It was just a conservative church, and I just got kind of sucked into it. There was a pastor that allowed the boys to come and help me for the week, and I was a logger at the time. They came out in the woods and ran the stick for me and so forth, different things, helped me in the cabinet shop that I had, and I kind of liked it, and you need to come down to the camp meeting. So the next thing, we went to a camp meeting, and when I got there, this was in Ohio, and near Dayton, Ohio, and so I was there, and, oh, you're Bernie. Well, we've been praying for you and this and that, and, you acted like, you felt like you're a celebrity. And, they were so kind, helpful, gave rooms and money, and, so you kind of get sucked into it.
And at what point did you feel this isn't right for you? How long were you in the cult? Or let me rephrase that. How long before you started questioning the cult, and then how long after that before you could get out of it?
Okay. I was in it probably about 4 years. I was still up in the northern part of Wisconsin. Then we had to move down to the southern part of Wisconsin in Kenosha. Kenosha is between Milwaukee and Chicago. And I was there for maybe 2-3 months after I moved. And one man, first I didn't have money to be able to get on my own and do the transition and move down to Kenosha. So the assistant pastor told me, you can live right here. He had a huge house. We had the whole upstairs, 2-3 bedrooms upstairs, and had my whole family there. And there was an older man living downstairs. He was not part of the family, but he was part of the member of the church. And so he was about 80 years old, and one day, while we were probably back up north visiting my family or something, we came back down, found out that Ralph was behind the window, trying to open up a window behind the couch, and he had a stroke, fell to the ground. Well, no medicine, no doctors. What do you do with that situation? The son of this assistant pastor contacted help real quick amongst the church, and they put him in bed. When we came back, Ralph was pretty much incoherent. He was out of it. He was pretty much unconscious. They just catered to him. Then he came to, and what I remember bedded into my mind is always water, and then they would give him a teaspoon of water. He'd keep that one down, give him another teaspoon of water, and he'd throw it back up. He couldn't keep it down. All he needed was an IV, and that started making me question a little bit, but this is strange. 2 weeks later, we had a knock on the door while my wife and I were sleeping. Says, Ralph Sal just passed away. And so we got up, went downstairs, and here's this dead body. No ambulance called, nothing. And I remember the pastor at this particular congregation called the main head pastor out of California. Hey, Danny, praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Okay, what happened? Ralph Sal just passed away. Okay, and you piece the conversation together. I was right. I heard the conversation. It says, we can't call the ambulance now. We can't call the police department now. We can't call the mortuary. We can't call anybody because if they came, they would try doing resuscitation, CPR, and we don't believe in that. Yeah, the body has to cool down. And I thought, man, that's strange. Huh. So we literally waited an hour for the body to cool down. Then I'll never forget, sitting on the right side of the bed, or left facing the bed would be right side of the bed, there was the pastor, Pat, and the dead man, Ralph. I'll never forget that. One hand on the dead man's forehead, the other man on the phone, and contacting back to Danny. Danny, what do we do now? The body is cool to touch. Okay, now call 911. 911. You know? It was strange. And sure enough, before you do that, take Bernie's children out of the house. Take them next door to the pastor's house. And so here my children got carried, and I thought this was kind of strange. He says, okay, now get ready. Now call 911, and things are going to get busy. Sure enough, police department, fire department, ambulance, the place block was packed. This is in town. A lot of lights flashing. And they went in the bedroom, and when they came out, one of the men, the one in the lead police department, looked right the pastor in the face. The pastor was standing right beside me, so it's a triangle, so I could see all expressions, I could see all the voices, and the police department asked, Pat, it appears that the body has been dead for a little while. Why didn't you call 911 any sooner? And the pastor started going into this long scenario, how he was with the individual and how he took his last breath, and finally he took one long breath, and then he exhaled, and he didn't take, and he waited a while, and he had to contact the church, and we got woken up, and we came there, and we came down and had to figure out what to do, so we called 911, as if evidently a lot of time must have gone by.
Mm-hmm.
No, we literally waited for an hour there for the body to cool down, and that's when I started questioning him.
We are talking with Bernie Tucholsky, who is a former cult member and the author of Torn Asunder in the Jaws of a Cult. We'll take a quick break. By the way, you can go to my website, peteranthonyholder.com, click on the What's On page. You'll find links to Bernie's website, also links to Amazon.com and Amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly. We'll take a quick break and we'll continue talking with Bernie. This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJD 800 and News Talk 1010, CFRB Toronto.
Tonight continues with more interviews and great conversation to get you through the night on News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto and CJAD 800 in Montreal. Here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And we are talking with Bernie Tucholsky, who is the author of Torn Asunder in the Jaws of a Cult, here on CJAD and CFRB. Well, clearly, as you describe, it's kind of easy to get into a cult.
Yes, it is.
How difficult is it to get out of a cult?
Extremely difficult. If you're a single person, you have a lot better chance. But if you're a couple, this cult seems like it specializes in tearing families apart. Mine is only one of many, 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 many families. When a person, like a couple, suppose I and a wife, whatever, the wife gets totally involved, which in this case it was, she got totally involved, and she was ordered at the end to leave me because I did not abide by the child abuse or what they call just discipline. I did not want to discipline my children according to their teachings anymore.
Okay, so look back a second. You had kids as well?
Yes, I have seven children.
Seven children?
Seven children. I love children.
Okay.
And I wanted a large family. I came from seven children. I enjoyed them. And two of the children came with me to work for that day. What happened is my mom died in 2002 in January. And we went to the funeral, everything like that. I was already in the outs and outs. I was questioning the church extensively, and they were already trying to alienate me from my children and from my wife and so forth. And my wife was already ordered one time to leave me if I don't straighten out. She had slept on the couch several times, according to the pastor. The pastor would say, hey, she needs to go on the couch, and that was the end of that. I couldn't argue. I couldn't fight. March came, and my family was getting together. First time since the funeral in memory of Mom. And I said, I got the call from my dad, and he says, could you come? The family's getting together and so forth. We're still grieving. It would be nice to have you. Sure, I'll see what I can do. And the church has rules. This cult has rules that you cannot leave the town. You cannot leave to any family functions, to anything, unless you have the pastor's permission. I could not get the pastor's permission to be with my family. They allowed it for the funeral, but that's it. And my wife was all caught up. She obeyed by every single rule. And so she was told, no, if he wants to go, you need to leave him. And so I said, I like to go. And I said, well, I have 2 more hours of work here in Kenosha. I need to finish that first. Randy and Davey, my 2 oldest sons, came with me. When we came home 2 hours later, she was gone. And I did not realize that was the last time I'd ever hug and kiss her. She took the other 5 children and hid them from me. So I was forced into a divorce, attorney's actions and all that, trying to get my children. I had a close-knit with my family, and it was quite grievous.
Now, what if just hypothetically, because you cannot leave this town unless the church says you can, what if your wife had agreed and said, yeah, let's just go to the family gathering? Would there be any repercussions from that action?
Oh, yes.
What would they be?
Oh, yes. First of all, there's a lot of verbal stuff that the pastor, if the wife and the husband can stick together close, it is a lot better off. There are several families that did leave as a couple, but more than not, most couples get split up because one person, a male or a female, will crave that cult attention and believe that they're going to be eternally doomed if they leave this place, and so they hang on to it for all their hope, and most of the time, the family gets split up.
How old are your kids now?
The youngest is 11 years of age.
Uh-huh.
I have 5 of them there. I have not seen them since July of last year. Of last year. They have turned alienated the children against me. Last time I had a phone recording and stuff, left messages. Daddy, you might as well turn around. We don't want to be with you. And we're praying for you. Because I have left the cult.
And the 2 that went with you to your family's gathering, are they still with you?
They're with me. They were with me from the beginning. They hated the cult. They got abused by the pastor and his wife. The pastor and the wife both beat my 2 boys.
Okay, so the youngest one is 11 years old, which you say is still involved. The 2 that are with you, how old are they?
22 and 21.
And the other 4, the youngest is 11, the oldest is how old?
19... 17, 16, something like that, 14, 13, and 11.
Okay. And do you feel that as they age, they will either succumb to the cult more or grow out of it?
I believe, okay, the oldest one, 19, is Rachel. The next one in line is Rachel. She is very much for it. She's the one that gave me a lot of pressure. She would come along while I had placement with the children and stuff, the 5, and she'd be basically the policeman. And Stevie is the two down there. Susanna, Susie, I call her,
uh-huh.
And Stevie, Stephen, Joel, and then Bethany. Bethany is the youngest. And Stevie is some character that really loves to have fun. He could care less, carefree, just enjoying life. And as soon as it gets a little out of shape, Rachel would say, Stevie, boom, and he'll just shut right up. He knows he's in trouble. He will get pulled by the cult pastor. He will get ridiculed, reprimanded, all those type of things. So it's a very enforced fear tactic. All I can say is the whole system is controlled by fear. You go against the cult pastors, against the ministry, and you're in trouble. You will be ridiculed. I remember one time I was in the pastor's room, and you think you will get the children. You will not get the children. Shereen's going to get the children. You know it's a woman's state. I mean, here he's pointing his finger a foot from my face and just yelling and screaming. And I just leaned back. I was scared. Oh, no, is this really going to happen? Shereen's going to have to leave you. You will lose everything. You will lose your wife. You will lose your family. You will lose your business. You will lose your health. You will die a miserable death, and you will face God. And, I just, for about a half hour, he was just pointing, stabbing in my face. I talked to him. Man, it's scary.
We are talking with Bernie Toholke, who is the former cult member and the author of Torn Asunder, In the Jaws of a Cult. Again, you can check out his website. You can go to my website, peteranthonyholder.com. Click on the What's on Patriot Tonight's date. You'll find links to Bernie's website. Also, links to Amazon.com and Amazon.ca, where you can order his book directly. We'll take a break, and we'll continue talking with Bernie. This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800, and News Talk 1010, CFRB Toronto.
You're listening to Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Astro Media Radio, CFRB 1010 in Toronto, and CJAD 800 in Montreal.
We are talking with Bernie Toholke, who is a former cult member and the author of Torn Asunder in the Jaws of a Cult, here on CJAD and CFRB. So how many years has it been, Bernie, since you've been involved with this cult?
Okay, I was involved about, I think it was like 8 years. It was the mid-90s to 2002. Since that time is when I really got exposed to the other side of the cult. They are the most nicest people. The nicest people, when you first meet them, going their way. But they're the most fiercest people I've ever met after you do leave them. The shunning and all that stuff. So it's been since 2002. It's been 7 years since I got kind of booted out of the system.
So when you're talking about, you earlier described kind of the personality traits that is attracted to something like this. Someone who's craving attention, someone who is treated nicely, who's to be completely shunned, that must be devastating.
Oh, yes. It is very difficult to take. When you get shunned, you get doors slammed in the face, go to the pastor's house, doors get slammed in your face, phones hung up, just the total alienation that they do to you is very difficult.
Now, how long after you left the cult that you decided to write this book, Torn Asunder?
I started getting ideas maybe 3-4 years into it after I was gone from it, started putting pieces together, and it was basically 2008 that I really started, and it says, I need to warn other people. The purpose for the book that I find, one was for the healing. You start writing down and you start unloading your interior, all your anger, your motives, your sorrow, everything like that, and just pour out your heart into that book is a big healing. The second thing that really moved me is to be able to warn other people. I wish I could have bought a book like this for $1,000 before I joined the group to be able to read it. That's what it's all about? No, I don't want any part of it. I wish I could have had that. It would have been a big, you know, it would have been a bargain.
Is there any concern on your part, because obviously you've gone from being in a cult to being totally anti-cult. Obviously you're not their favorite person.
No.
Is there any concern on your part for your safety, or the safety of the two sons who left with you, or even the safety of the remaining members of your family who are there?
No, this particular cult will do anything but kill you. As far as safety is concerned, no, they are not those type of people. You know, they will kill their own members by their own mentality of no medicine, no doctors. But as far as being a threat, no, they are not that type of cult.
What about the mindset of the remaining members of your family in there? You have five children, and is your wife your ex-wife now?
Yes.
Okay. So you have five children in there. Are you concerned about their well-being?
Yes, I am, as far as the health part of it. They have nothing but homeschooling to begin with, actually private schooling. In Wisconsin, in particular, it would be an illegal school because you need a certified teacher to be able to run a private school like that if it's more than one family unit. That I do feel. Their health issues, any type they have, the health problems, they don't go to doctors for medicine. However, they did during the time that battles, the legal court battles were in session, they would take them there basically for a cover-up. As far as mentally, yes, they are very much abused. There's so many rules, so many different things that they don't have. They are not growing up as normal people.
Inside this life of this cult life that you were referring to, that you were involved in, how much contact, if any, because when people hear about cults, they think about places that are behind walls, in some sort of compound, don't have access to the outside world, don't watch television, listen to radio, know what's going on beyond the cult. Was this like that? Or
yes, definitely. You cannot have radio, you cannot have television, you cannot have internet. You can have a computer, but you cannot have internet. That was wrong. You cannot have circuses, parades, museums, anywhere where there's a video going on. They do not play arcades. They do not play. They do not wear color red, the bright colors. It has to be the dark, the blues, the grays, the greens, you know, that type of the darker monotone colors. They cannot drive sports cars. They cannot drive pickup trucks. They cannot, you know, all the fun things that life, they cannot play Monopoly. Nothing to do with dice, nothing to do with there's nothing you can do. You can't go swimming. You can't, because that's immodest. The whole world is basically going to hell in a handbasket is the way the comment goes. All the churches out there, their opinion on other churches. The Roman Catholic Church is the mother harlot, according to them. And all other churches, I don't care if they're a Baptist, Methodist, a Presbyterian, or whatever their denomination is, are all daughters of this mother harlot. They are the only right ones. Even if they name themselves Church of God, if they're not fellowshipping with this Church of God, Restoration, they're going to hell. They're all the Antichrist. They're all Babylon.
Hmm. And why is it that the members of this cult, and to an extent other cults, are afraid to leave, or are they? Are they so brainwashed that they believe they're doing right, or are there people who want to get out and are just afraid to?
Both. When I first got booted out of the system, I had a fear that I'm fighting against the one true church. It was programmed into me for 8 years. 4 years was really good. And then 4 years, I started questioning it when I seen the abuse, when I seen the death, that type of thing. I started questioning. And then when I come home, my wife is gone. Oh, am I fighting against the 1-2 church? And it's a major roller coaster for another 2, 3, 4 years before I start writing the book. No, this is wrong. This is not right. Sure, they have a lot of principles, certain earmarks that are good, but not all of it. And people are afraid because of the shunning, the ridicule. I have seen one time one person, a teenager, get pulled in the office, and there were three different ministers just ridiculing on him. I have seen so many people come out of those sessions, tears, just bloodshot eyes, and they've been crying. They work them over big time. And I was in that session several times. I'd get in the room, my knees would shake, just clam up, gut it up. But,
it's like going to the principal's office.
Yes.
When you were in the cult, did you, a close-knit situation, you make friends with other cult members?
That's all you have.
So
that's all you have.
At that time, did you see any chinks in the armor, any cracks, anybody who looked like they might have wanted to leave, but again, like you say, were afraid to? Did you ever discuss this with people who at the time you thought were your friends, or was it a situation that if you ever expressed it, even in confidence to one person, they might go running to the pastor?
Oh, yes. That is a fear. You might say something. I thought my wife was my friend there for a little bit, and I would say, I don't know, I don't quite agree with it. Before the day was over, that message already was taken to the pastor. I got pulled in. I was no longer saved. I was no longer a Christian. You need to get resaved, and you got to run to the altar and stuff like that. You need to apologize to the whole congregation that you have sinned. I says, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just that is enough, boom. You can't have any free thinkers. So people will turn on you, even your own spouse, in this system.
Who led whom to the cult? Did you lead your wife? Did your wife lead you?
We both met the cult at the same time. However, I had contacts from way back many years ago of a man that was a little bit younger than me, and he became a pastor of this cult, but I knew him as a child, and all of a sudden, Donnie's coming. I'd like to see him. And the next thing I knew, I was kind of hooked up. You need to come to a camp meeting. And it was kind of like some of the bait. And I really like this group. It was very generous, very kind. And we both together, in unison, basically, we'll go with this system. And so we started becoming members. And as the months went along, trickled away. It actually was over 4 years before I actually got all the rules. And then, when we finally had to move Kenosha, Donnie was out of the picture already. That's when I really was exposed. And the new pastor was Pat, down in Kenosha area. And the main ringleader is somebody that was a drug addict for 20-some years, or 19 years, heroin addict.
So in other words, it didn't take one of you to convince the other, maybe this is where our family should go.
No, it was togetherness. This is nice. People are helpful. People are kind. They're all hungry for the word. They're really hungry for the Bible. Let's go for it.
So you were both sucked into this whole concept.
Yes.
Does, looking back at it in hindsight, you you were both sucked into this vortex, but you managed to find your way out. Are you surprised that your ex-wife is still part of this cult?
Yes, I am. That was a shock. I didn't expect that. She gave me a whole list of rules while the divorce was in session. She says, so you want to make things right? Yes. I never had any objections to her. I never had any disagreements with her. It was all related around the cult. And she gave me a list that I have to make Randy and Davey, my oldest two sons, totally, you know, do everything according to her. But she was going to stay in the cult, and I would have had to do everything according to the cult. I'd give her every single information, where I'm going to go, when I'm going to do, so she can report it to the pastor and be 100% behind the cult. I says, I can't do that. On the return side, flip-flop side, I'll give you one condition. You have to divorce the cult. Oh, I'm supposed to divorce Jesus Christ? And that was the whole thing. And so she could not. The cult was it or nothing at all.
Now, what about other family? You mentioned going to see your family, going to see your mom passed away, or you went to see your dad. What about her family?
Her family lives in Rochester, Minnesota. And no, she rarely sees them anymore. My two sons still keep up with their grandparents. And they say, yeah, mommy doesn't ever show up anymore for any family functions. It's not permitted, you know, so in the cult, so she hardly ever shows up anymore. Christmas is a Babylon holiday, Easter is a Babylon holiday, a paganistic holiday, and all that.
Okay, so you went into this cult as a family.
Yes.
There's you, your wife, seven kids.
Yes.
So it's a family unit.
Uh-huh.
Now she's there with five of the kids, you have two of the others, and you're out. Do your ex-in-laws blame you?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm sorrowful about that. I wish we had a relationship, but since I divorced their daughter, and I mean, we're through his divorce, whatever, that there's very, very little communication anymore. I like him. I wish I could see him. I wish I could talk to him, but it's blood runs thick, you know, and I don't blame him for it. Huh. I don't blame him for having that kind of opinion. I wish it could be different.
But they don't have a relationship with their daughter either.
No.
Right.
Very little. Very little, because they don't know how to do it.
But in their eyes, you're the cause of this.
I'm the cause of it. I'm the one that supposedly sucked her into it. No, because I knew the cult, did not know the cult, but I knew a particular member of the cult before he became a cult.
Right.
And then got sucked into it. Therefore, I'm the one to blame, in a sense. I sent them a transcript of my book and so forth to explain it. It's all out there. I wish we could see each other, but it's not there.
We are talking with Bernie Toholke, who is a former cult member and the author of Torn Asunder, In the Jaws of a Cult. Again, you can go to my website, peteranthonyholder.com, click on the What's On page, and you'll find links that'll take you to Bernie's website, also links that'll take you to Amazon.com and Amazon.ca, where you can order the book directly. We'll take another quick break. We have a few moments to go with Bernie. This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJD 800, and News Talk 1010, CFRB Toronto.
Montreal to Toronto and everywhere in between. This is Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Astro Media Radio, CJAD 800 in Montreal, and CFRB 1010 in Toronto.
And we are talking with Bernie Toholke, who is a former cult member and the author of Torn Asunder, In the Jaws of a Cult, here on CJAD and CFRB. And Bernie, there's an organization, as a matter of fact, right here in Montreal, called InfoCult. And people, by the way, can go to their website, which is infocult.org, and they basically keep track of what's going on out there in the world of cults and what news reports come out on cults and the like. I bring them up only because here you are now with your book. And since the book has come out, have you been hearing from people who either have family members that have been involved in cults or people who have escaped from cults themselves? And are you surprised by, well, quite frankly, the numbers?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I have been getting emails from various different sources. There's one that was really, really enlightening, that is real close contact with some of the members. says, "Oh yeah, I'm right under the myths." And I says, "Thank you for giving that information. I was confused. I didn't know. They were giving me this propaganda to, you know, to try swaying them to that belief, and so forth. And I was unsure, not really knowing, nothing to put my fingers on. And I came across your book. I read it, and man, it's awesome. Thank you so much." I says, "Well, that's what makes it worth it. If I can warn other people and let them know the full impact of what this thing is all about, and they can't deny it. They cannot deny it." And within that book, I was asked if I have any fears of getting taken to court for slander or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I says, "All the stories are true. What can they do? You know, what can they do? Hey, have Pat show his finger. Finger's missing. What's it about? It's one of my chapters or part chapters in my book of what happened. And this and that and the drug scene and everything is true. There is no slander."
Since it is a cult and it has been publicly denounced as a cult.
Yes.
Isn't there anything the authorities can do?
There, in the United States especially, I don't know how it's exactly in Canada, but there's a certain loophole or umbrella over religious freedom. To the extent where they can actually hide out. Okay, like your Elmer group. Your Elmer group that I know of, St. Thomas area there, not too far from Montreal, when they started getting in trouble with the law, they jumped the border and got into the United States overnight. The next day they were going to be investigated, some of the other families in it, some of the children. Overnight, 80, I think it was some 80-some people, jumped the border and got into Ohio, and the cult members within Ohio hid them out in their homes for several weeks on ends until the wind blew over, and then they came back to Canada. So there's a big protection, and Ohio is very, very liberal, loose with religious point of views.
Hmm. We are talking with Bernie Toholke, who is a former cult member and author of Torn Asunder, In the Jaws of a Cult, here on CJAD and CFRB. Going through an experience like that, especially considering we're talking about a cult that is religion-based,
mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel, generally speaking, about religion? Are you a member of a church right now?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I go to a little community church, and I enjoy it. But yet, when you have spent so much time in there, when you come in a church, I don't care which church, I could come to your church, and the first thing, he's got a ring, he's got a tie, you've been programmed to pick out all the things according from their viewpoint. Where does the Bible say that you can't have a tie, but yet the cult has that rule, and so you take out all these different things. You can't have gold, you can't have, it's so extensive. And so you're picking out and, you know, nitpicking them apart. And so you're always kind of hindered in the far as getting edified within the church and stuff. So, yeah, it's very confusing. It's a roller coaster. The thing is, most people that leave the system just fall off a deep end. They just go out, drink drugs, whatever it is, you know, to throw away their life, to be anything but a cult, and they normally get bitter against God, they get bitter against anything that has to do with any religion. They end up with nothing.
How long does it take you to, for lack of a better term, decompress from the experience of having been involved in a cult for the better part of 8 years?
Okay, I have been out of it already 7 years now, and I still am in a roller coaster, still kind of, you know, just sad. Am I having any impact? Am I really fighting against the cult, you know, against the church, the one true church? Am I fighting against it? I am still not through the woods. I don't have an answer. Writing the book was a big healing part. Talking to individuals, having other individuals say, "Hey, thanks for your help. I read your book. I saw your website. I read all your stuff on your website, all the different pages." It's amazing. And that's a healing. That's a healing. It takes time. And I am glad that I did not turn bitter against God. I just, because I can see the difference between religion and Christianity, and that it's what I had was religion twisted.
Hmm. Do you still hope for? Well, there's no chance for reconciliation with your ex. First of all, are you married again?
No.
No. Are you hoping for a reconciliation with your kids at least?
Oh, with my children. children? I'd love to. That is the third reason why I wrote the book. Right now, I cannot get to the children. I get the phone hung up on me. There's no need to really call them because they screen their calls. I can't get messages. It's nothing but arguing. I basically need a court order again, but that costs money. I don't have the money, so I wrote the book. Hopefully, there's enough generated from there that I can afford an attorney, but the court system has all been screwed up, in a sense, and they favor it. I believe there's a money trail and so forth.
You say that they screen the calls. When you say they, who are you referring to?
As far as screwed up?
No, they screen your calls.
Oh, they screen my calls?
Who's screening your calls?
My ex-wife.
Oh, your ex-wife.
Yes.
Not the church.
No. The church I don't call, but I have to call my wife to ex-wife or whatever to, I'd like to get the children, this and that. Can I talk to the children? No, we're busy right now. We got something else. Bye. I says, well, bing, phone's dead. So sometimes they don't even pick up. It's hard to get a hold of them. I had the phone hung up so many times on me and so forth, and they don't get the letters. I could try writing to my children, but my ex-wife has already said way years ago that no, they don't get any letters until they're 18, and then they can have the letters that I send them. And so she's withholding everything from them, alienating them from me.
And you mentioned that when you leave a situation like this, when you do manage to get out, you're alienated by the church. Doors are slammed in your face. People don't talk to you. You still have some sort of contact with your children. So do you actually go there to pick up your kids? Do you see members of this church? It's now 8 years since you've been involved. Are you like a walking dead person to them?
I am a walking dead person. There was one time I had my two sons with me. We went to Kenosha, and surprise, they were having a big cult meeting. There were people in from every state, Canada and United States and California and Ohio and Oklahoma and Indiana. And, you know, they were there, and there was a large group of people. And when I got there, oh, you have to pick up the children at the church. Well, that's where my wife is at, so I got to go there. And I pulled in, and the place was crowded with all these members that I once knew. And so it was just like a hostage scene. I had to walk through a crowd of people, and everybody is reaching up, not reaching up, no handshakes, no nothing, rudeness. We're praying for you. We liked you better the other way. I wish God would really make it hard on you. And then the next person repeats it, and you're going through a crowd. Finally, you get up to the church steps. People are standing all around. They all just look at you like so sorrowful, so disgusted. You have gone off a deep end. And all of a sudden, the whole crowd of people just kind of parted open, just like the Red Sea was being parted. And out came a little small line, and here out comes my five children. And they're all sad. Oh, we're praying for you. Take care. Stay encouraged. And it's just so disgusting. And then you walk with your five children back to your vehicle, and they kind of follow you out. And no, it's a big shunning tactic. It's peer pressure. In the court one time, they filled up the whole court building, the several benches, full of these people. I turn around in my chair, and I just kind of in a glaze look back, and it's just nothing but black and white. That's what their typical clothes attire is.
Interesting story indeed. Again, the book is called Torn Asunder, In the Jaws of a Cult. It's written by Bernie Tucholsky, and you can visit my website, peteranthonyholder.com. Click on the What's On page for tonight's date. You will find links to Bernie's website. You'll also find links to Amazon.com and Amazon.ca, where you can order the book directly. I thank you very much for taking the time to be on the program with us this morning. I hope things really work out for you and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate being there. It's been an excitement ever since I found out today that you're going to be calling me and so forth. It's been exciting.
Take care, sir.
Thank you very much.
Bernie Tucholsky, who again is the author of Torn Asunder, In the Jaws of a Cult, and he himself a former cult member. We'll take a break for the news here on CJAD and CFRB. And on the other side of the news, we'll actually talk to the author of Confronting Without Offending. Maybe these people should read each other's books. This is kind of interesting, kind of a topical thing here. That's coming up on the other side of the news here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800 and News Talk 1010, CFRB Toronto.